Webmaster Lex asked me to remind you that coming up this Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific time, you can join me for one of the ongoing collective chats. We have a Coast Insiders chat for members who can ask me any question they want, and I'll try to answer as many as I can. So if you can join us, that'd be pretty cool, Wednesday night. My guests, Melinda Leslie, and our abductee panel with Jesse Long and Melinda Leslie continues. Thanks to Yvonne Smith. But we move on now. We'll be going to the phone lines with your questions for my guests who've had pretty interesting lives. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. Jesse Long and Melinda Leslie, before we go to the phone lines, I know our listeners have a lot of questions for you. I want to get a fair characterization from each of you what this lifetime of experience has done to your personal lives. You know, some people characterize this, the folks who want to dismiss it and make it go away, as if it's some kind of a new age, touchy-feely life choice or something, a philosophy that you choose or embrace, as opposed to something that is thrust upon you. Jesse, why don't we start with you and describe, I can't imagine what it's been like emotionally, psychologically, what it's done to your personal life to have to come to grips with this, but I imagine it's taken a toll.
Well, it has. One is health issues. I mean, the implant that was in my leg for 34 years sort of kept me healthy, and once it was removed, I started getting sick. And then, of course, having to see your children and not be able to interact with them, and now with the dead child, which was highly traumatic for me and still is, to realize I'm never going to see them again at this point is disturbing. I've gone 8 years at my job without telling anyone, and they just found out recently, and some people think I'm crazy, which is fine. I mean, that's not the first thing you tell someone when you meet them. Hi, my name is Jess. I'm an abductee. You let them get to know you first, and then you might or may never tell them. You have to decide who and when.
Jesse, I can't imagine what it's like. I don't know if you're married or you have relationships, but I can imagine it's got to create problems in that arena as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't have a relationship until I was 52 years old.
And because of this?
Yeah.
Melinda, describe the same kind of question, emotionally, mm-hmm. physically, psychologically.
Well, first off, I feel really deeply when Jesse talks about the hybrid children and losing one. Not to go in any depth, but there was one hybrid presentation that I had when I was presented with what I believed was about a 5 or 6-year-old little girl, probably about 6. And I was so shocked because they'd walked me down a hallway and in a doorway, and they had her there with a gray staying next to her, and her head was particularly oversized, her eyes were oversized, her forehead was too high, she had a very minuscule chin, very thin, wispy white hair, and just like if you walk down the street and I'm sure everyone could admit that they do this. I mean, we try not to, but you walk past someone maimed or deformed or, you know, whatever, birth defect. There's a tendency to look away, and sometimes it's just where you don't want to appear that you're staring at them. You want to appear normal, so maybe glancing away is the first reaction. So when I saw her, I glanced away from her because it was just so shocking to then look back. Well, the grays that were with me and with her must have interpreted that as something wrong. They quickly whisked her out of the room, down the hallway. I saw her from the back, and I was like tongue-tied. I wanted to say, no, wait, bring her back. But I was in such shock, I couldn't even speak. And I felt like I had turned away from my own child. So, Jesse, when you relate those things, I really feel what you're saying, because I have extreme guilt for feeling like I turned away from my own child. I don't have any children in this life. I've never been married. I've never had kids. I have problems with relationships. And sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm copping out to say I'm blaming the subject matter. But then sometimes I go, wait a second, the subject matter has impacted me, and it has impacted that. And I mean, granted, I've been very blessed to have some, you know, nice relationships and dated some great guys. But I mean, yeah,
well,
I've never been married. I don't have kids. It is partially because of this, without a doubt.
I mean, it does dominate your life. How could it not?
Well, that's why I said, you know, I've thrown in the towel where I finally caved in, and I'm like, and I called coming out of the psychic closet. You know, you've known me for a long time. A lot of people in ufology didn't know I did readings and I was a psychic, and I've said, hey, I'm doing that now here at the center, and taking people on the tours, because I finally just said, I can't not do this full time. I don't have any other kind of life. This is my life now. And sometimes I get really angry about that. But then I go, you know what? I love waking people up to this. I love getting the truth out, and I really like helping other abductees. I question when I go public. I question when I do a radio program. And I think, Jesse, you could probably relate to this. Sometimes I have to go, you know what? I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for all the people out there who don't have a voice, who are afraid to talk, who are traumatized, who have had their families disown them. I know people who have lost their jobs over this subject. I know people who have lost their families and their marriages over this subject, people who have lost their careers. I mean, wow, I have a lot of cases and people I've worked with where that's the case. This is disrupting. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. It's very difficult to live with. And then you get ridicule on top of it. Oh, let's sign up for that in a hurry.
Yeah, so it's not like buying a new suit of clothes, picking something out off of the shelf or something that you try on.
No, this is something, once you realize this is happening to you, once you deal with it, you can never go back to normal, ever. And then you got to just come to terms with that. And like I said, I caved in, you know. But, I mean, I laugh about that, but that's really what I had to do. I had to just embrace it, because I wasn't ever going to have a normal life again.
One other quick question, then we'll open up the phone lines. Jesse, you first. Both of you have mentioned about seeing these hybrid children. What about adults? You know, Melinda, you made a reference to them walking around. Mm-hmm. Jesse, you first, then Melinda, you ever run into one?
The older kids? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, are adults walking around?
Yeah, in fact, at the last abduction where the other children were, the oldest girl that I have, I had her when I was about 12 years old. She was the first one that I saw. She's actually taking care of all the other children. And I call her Elle, E-L-L-E. She's the one who's actually taking care of all of my other children.
So I guess what I meant was, ever run into any that you suspected were some kind of hybrid out on the street or
on the street?
Yeah.
No. I think I would instantly recognize them if I did, but I've not seen them.
Melinda, same question?
No, not definitively. I know many people and many abductees that have. So even though Jesse and I are sitting here saying, well, no, I mean, I know many that have. There was only one time here at the Center for New Age. I have my little research center. It's this little converted trailer turned into an office. I have a little research center. And I have a lot of young people come back here. And one day there was some like tour group of teenagers, even older teenagers. And there was this one long-haired, good-looking, tall kid with him, but he hung back from the others, and he wasn't really interacting with everyone, and it stuck out to me. I thought, and I mean, he was older. I want to say he was probably, you know, I can't say for sure, late teens, early 20s, probably late teens, 18, 19, something like that. And I was like, and the way he hung back from the others, I thought, I'm not sure that he's with the group. And then I thought his eyes were extra big. His forehead was a little higher. And I just kind of went, well, he was a good-looking guy, but just those extra big eyes, I just kind of went, and the way he was taller, and he was hanging back, like, I'm sure he was with them, but at the same time, he seemed distant from them. And I, after he left, I thought about it, and I went, oh, my God. And then I thought of one of my early presentations, and I tried to kind of extrapolate, how old would he be? And I went, oh, my God, what if this, you know, 17, 18-year-old kid was one of my kids who showed up like this? But he didn't approach me. He just hung back, and he was probably with that group. But it was so startling to me, and I kind of was shooken up over it later, and I wish I'd known. But he was probably just part of the group. He probably just had a different look, extra big eyes that it just stuck out. But I've seen even some photos. of other people's possible hybrid presentations. I think of Stan Romanek and a presentation, a lecture where the girl was photographed in the front row of the audience or second row, something like that. And the way her eyes looked reminded me of the way this guy looked. So that just, but I don't know. Maybe it was just, you know, it may have been nothing because I have nothing to back it up.
Let's take a couple calls. Start with East of the Rockies, Patsy in White Pines, Tennessee. Good morning, Patsy.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment about something. I heard you mention about this thing that looked like a big praying mantis. Mm-hmm. About 35 years ago, my husband worked in the government in a very rural area in Kentucky, and I know I'd had strange things happen to me my whole life, but my mom was a person who just really took that as like, well, it's every day. Well, when I moved there, I was alone a lot with my three children, and because he traveled a lot, my husband, and one night I woke up and there was this thing that looked like a bell, except it was very dark, sitting on the front porch of this house, okay? And I never dreamed, well, I said to myself, well, that just can't be real. Where did this come from? And I felt very strange for a moment. And then it was just as if someone had torn a hole in the very fabric of what was around me. And this huge thing that looked like a praying mantis in a lotus position with its legs crossed and its hands up on the inside of this thing was sitting there, and it hissed at me. And I couldn't believe what was happening, but at the same time, I was in it. I don't know how to explain it. I was just a part of it. It could read my mind, and I could read its mind. This thing, it threatened me. And I said, well, it threatened man. And I said, well, what gives you the right to judge mankind and to threaten us? You're nothing like me. You're nothing like people. And this thing, it hissed at me. And then I decided, I know what I'm going to do. I don't care where this comes from. I'm going to ask God to get it out of there. So I started praying immediately. And this thing, it backed up. And it hissed again really loud, and it just moved out. I even heard the porch swing. I had a really big porch swing out there. I heard it bang against that post next to the porch. That thing, it moved on out. Well, I want you to know that I truly believe, after having as many experiences that I've had in my life, that people can fight this stuff, okay? And I think it takes faith. And I'm not saying that this is demonic, because it is a creator of demonic things, I think. And I think that it is something from another world that has that capability. And I wanted to say, I really am pleased that you're speaking out, because people need support on this subject, because hardly anyone knows about this. People keep themselves quiet about it because it ruins your whole life. We wound up losing our home and everything over what happened to us. I don't want to go into the details, but I wanted to say, hold on to who you are. Don't allow whatever this is to influence you in any way. Don't allow it to present things to you like, well, you've got some children on another planet. Baloney. This stuff, it manipulates people's thoughts, and it is a creator of evil. I've always been able to do that. I felt like I had been able to somehow stop that from getting me.
Patsy, thank you for a terrific account of what's happened to you. I can tell it's affected you emotionally. Let's get a response from our guests here, Jesse first, and then Melinda. The idea, you must get it a lot, that prayer or appealing to a higher power can help you. Have you ever tried it, and does it work?
I've never openly tried it. I mean, I'm sorry that this lady has gone through such an ordeal. And if that helps her, that's wonderful. I mean, my abductions have been so traumatic and all, you know, me screaming and yelling and trying to get away that prayer at that moment was the last thing I was going to think of. I was just trying to escape.
I've seen video of you, Jesse, under hypnosis, and it's obviously that it's a very real, it seems very real at the time, and it's pretty powerful.
Yep.
Melinda, your thoughts about prayer and the intentions of these visitors?
Well, let me speak about it in a general sense and then personally. First off, I thank her for sharing an incredible story, and I honor that that's, you know, what happened with her. But a lot of abductees, you know, if only that would work every time. And the thing is, it doesn't. A lot of abductees have prayed, called on Jesus, whatever, during the experience. Those with really heavy Christian bases have done that. And there's people where that's not stopped the experience. Now you're left going, well, if you're praying and calling on God and the experience is still going on, maybe this experience is with God's or Jesus' approval. Because, as I said, some of them aren't negative. And those people who have prayed and that kind of thing, it doesn't always stop it. Now, I think, though, the one thing that has showed up in the research to stop it, to change it, and Jesse, I hear what you're saying. I know you're caught up in the trauma. So part of it is getting really clear and conscious in the experience. There was a researcher, Ann Druffel, who wrote about this, very well-known abduction researcher. And Ann Druffel wrote about people using right use of will and asserting their will. And it seems like when you assert your will and you have that strength in what you believe, that the aliens respect and they back off. And and in the event you're having something traumatic or frightening, I do know of people, and even myself, where I was really conscious, really present, really clear. And Jesse, I, you know, had a moment of being out of the fear to say no. And, you know, and so that right use of will, I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest. But again, it's like you have to have that presence of mind first. And most abductees are in that state of trauma, in that state of fear, in that state of uncertainty.
Well, everything about it is incredibly frightening and disorienting.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and they don't have that clarity. So that's where getting regression and getting that clarity, and the next time you have an experience, being able to say, okay, I've gotten through this before, I can get through this, and learning how to recall your memories consciously, I think all this can be trained, and a person can be empowered to have that consciousness and that presence of mind in an experience. And then in my own experience, when I've asserted my will and done that, their behavior towards me has changed. And I get some respect, you know, you know, that's all. I feel like I've gotten some respect. I know some other people have felt this way too. I'm blessed too. I've had a mix of experiences. I've had the very traumatic ones, and I've had ones that were very educational and weren't all that traumatic. So maybe because I've had both kinds of experiences, I can understand both viewpoints. At least
yeah, it seems like everything about the experience is meant to frighten you, keep you disoriented, off balance. You don't know where you are. You don't know what they're doing. They don't really fill you in with a lot of details on what their agenda is. And I can imagine it'd be pretty hard to, at least for a while, to stand up to them. And
yeah,
I applaud anybody who can do it. Yeah. My guests are Melinda Leslie and Jesse Long. Phone lines are just about full, so we'll get to as many of your calls as we can when we come back. We still have a segment or two. We've been talking about Coronado, the President, the Secret Service, and Alien Abductions, the new book by Yvonne Smith, but we've broadened the discussion to abductions in general. And if you just heard this story from Patsy east of the Rockies, it's enough to raise the hair on your arms about an encounter she had with something like a classic praying mantis. Our guests, Melinda Leslie, Jesse Long, we'll get to as many of your questions as we can. The phones are pretty full, and I'm sure you have a lot of cool questions in mind, interesting topics to cover. We'll get to them right in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We have a final segment with Melinda Leslie and Jesse Long. And I miss, before we go back to the phones, Jesse, just checking in on you. You doing okay?
Doing fine.
Just as tough. Is it tough? I mean, is it tough to talk about this on a national radio broadcast?
It can be.
All right.
Keep a positive attitude, though.
All right, good. I'm just checking on you. We're going to go back to the phones. We'll go west of the Rockies. Andrew in San Diego. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how's it going?
Okay.
Hey, so basically the past 6 to 7 years of my life, I've had experiences to where there basically what happens is there's an immense energy that I feel like overwhelming. And then basically what would happen is I would feel the presence of something, and then I would feel the imprint of a hand on my leg, and I would be filled with a really, really intense loving energy throughout my body. And I've never, but also with that, just immense fear, like gripping fear, you know, like, because it's extremely powerful, whatever it is. And this has happened, like, I'd say at least 30 times in the past 7 years. And what you said about will was really fascinating, because from the very beginning, I was extremely just clear about whatever it was. I didn't want to see it because I didn't know if I could handle that. And this has happened recently even, and it's usually in like few day bursts, and then it will go a couple months without it happening. But what happened recently is there was like an extremely loud electrical crack in my room. And I jumped out of bed, and then once I laid back down, I realized that this was happening again. And I've been really confused about this. One time a few years back, I saw a light outside my window because I didn't know what was happening. And finally I saw a light, and then it disappeared. It imploded in on itself. And I don't know. So I've just been really confused about this for a long time, but it's really a powerful thing that happens. And
I'll tell you what, Andrew, let's hear from Melinda and Jesse what they think might be going on. Jesse, to start with you, does this sound familiar, the kind of things that he's reporting?
Yeah, very similar to what some people are, you know, telling. Melinda's probably had more experience with it, this kind of description, than I have.
Melinda?
Well, everything you're saying does sound like the basis for getting some regressive hypnosis. I'm not sure where you live. If you're in Southern California, contact Yvonne for sure. It sounds like you have the basis for some experiences and pieces of memory. I would also recommend for anyone out there, for you and anyone who's feeling like they've had experiences or relates to things that we're saying, I think Yvonne's book would be really healing. The new book, I think, would be very, you know, cathartic and transformative for someone to realize that the variety of things they're having happen, there's so many experiences covered in this book that will match what's happened to you. Maybe not everything, but the things that do match will make you go, oh, my God, I'm not alone. So I recommend Yvonne's new book. I have on the website SedonaNewAgeStore.com, and well, actually, just go to the homepage for Coast to Coast and look up tonight's show, and where it lists the websites under UFO abduction and hypnosis for tonight's show, it'll say SedonaNewAgeStore.com ET contact. That's a questionnaire that a well-known abductee, Nadine Lawlich, and who's written some books with Barbara Lamb, her and I worked together to kind of compile some of the best information out there to come up with a list that's 65 traits of whether someone's had abduction.
So it's a list that they can take the questionnaire and kind of give them a hint.
Yeah, people can go through it and see how many things they answer yes to. And if they answer yes to many things on there, definitely find a trained hypnotherapist like Yvonne to work with.
Okay. Andrew, it's certainly, I don't know if it's an abduction experience you're having, but there's something going on with you. You can hear it in your voice. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate you sharing. First-time caller, Russ in Cleveland. Good morning, Russ. Hi, Russ. You're on with Melinda and Jesse.
Thank you very much, George.
Sure.
All right. My question is kind of odd, but do you think any of the hybrids or generational hybrids would actually be fully aware that they actually are hybrids? And what would be some of the defining traits of a hybrid?
Good question.
Thank you. I'll listen off the air.
Yeah, thanks. Good question. Jesse, you want to take that one first?
Well, the traits, You know, my hybrid children could not pass in human society, and yet there are apparently these hybrids that could pass, like Melinda was describing. Whether they are aware of it or not, I wouldn't have any clue. I haven't had conversations with them to find out. I assume they probably do know, and that's just an assumption. But to be absolutely sure, I wouldn't know.
I'm just guessing, Melinda, but it sounded like Russ was wondering whether he might be one himself.
Well, I was wondering the same thing. It's a shame he's still not on the air to ask him. I don't know really what the traits are. I know before Bud Hopkins passed that him and Dave Jacobs, I think, were working on a new book about this very subject. I hope Dave Jacobs is going forward with it. I guess I should contact him and ask him.
I mean, big head, big eyes, small
chin. Well, I'm not sure, because there are definitely ones that would completely, you know, pass for human. And what I do know this from people who report the interaction with the hybrids who may be living here on Earth, and again, I've not met anyone either, but from what I hear from other people is that sometimes the beings know that they are. There's one abductee whose name is escaping me. She came out many, many years ago, over 20 years ago, and her daughter was one, and her daughter had full knowledge of being it and was highly telepathic and highly psychic and you know, highly psychokinetic and extremely intelligent. And so those kind of things, are you very psychic? Are you extremely intelligent? Are you able to do psi abilities? Do you have any particular strong, you know, area of science or math or something that you are exceptional at? I'm just guessing, you know, because really, really I don't know.
Okay. Let me ask Jesse a question. Jesse, do you know when one of these encounters is coming? Can you tell? You get a feeling that, hey, tomorrow's the day or sometime soon?
Unfortunately, no.
So it's always out of the blue?
Usually just out of the blue, yeah.
I know
it would
that.
It'd be nice to know ahead of time to prepare, yeah. But no.
All right. We'll go back to the phones. Veronica in Oxnard. Good morning, Veronica.
Everybody, Jesse and Melinda, thank you so much for being so brave and so vocal. It's not a small thing, and we all really appreciate it. My question is, considering that like 90% of the stories we hear about these encounters, people get violated, shouldn't we be extremely wary of these aliens? And I'll take my answer off the air. God bless.
Thanks,
you
Veronica.
Guys.
Thank you.
I addressed that earlier, if I can say something.
Sure.
Which is, that's, I think, a lot of the fault of the media, that so much negative stories get the attention. And because they're the ones that are sexy. I mean, scary sells, and it's sexy. You know, so that's, and even some people that, like myself, I did a show not long ago for the Travel Channel called UFOs Crashed My Vacation. I was treated really, really well by the production company, but I had nothing to do with the reenactment. Well, most of the reenactment was accurate, except for they had me and my two friends screaming the whole time. Well, we weren't. And then they did this blood and guts thing with this plastic ball thing on my stomach, and that wasn't in there. But they had to make it dramatic. I get it. It's television. But that also gives people the wrong idea. And I don't want
park,
to downplay the fact that I know Jesse's had some very traumatic experiences, without a doubt, and I have too. But it's not always that way, and so much of it is portrayed as, oh, it's all violation, oh, it's all, you know, rape and murder, and, well, no, it's not all that way.
Well, let's get this straight. They are taking samples, ova, sperm, skin, whatever, against your will.
That's true,
yeah.
And that is true.
Jesse, why don't you, your take on it? It doesn't sound like you have as positive a view of this.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, I have, after they've stopped, I have come to the conclusion that a lot of that was my own perception of what was happening.
Amen.
I mean, since it was happening since age of 5, I carried the fear with me. At some point during, you know, those 30-something years I was abducted, I feel like I should have been able to keep myself calm, and I was not. So it was my own perception which kept the fear going for me.
Gotcha.
Exactly, Jesse. I I love what you just said, because I'm always saying that it's so much a person's own perception, right, and learning to have control and consciousness in their experience. Absolutely.
We've got to get to as many calls as we can. Andy in Los Angeles on the wild card line. Hi, Andy. You're on with Melinda and Jesse.
Yes. You have a great show, George, and you're a great interviewer.
Thanks.
This is a very deep subject, and I don't know if I can touch on the important points, but I'll try. I understand that there are like 80 or maybe more, a little less, different species of these different visitors that are coming upon the Earth. And I found it very interesting that according to our society, if any woman is violated against her will, it's simply called rape. And under our rules across the world, in every country, it's not tolerated. It's not acceptable. But yet these visitors, if this is really happening, and if countless numbers of women are telling the truth around the world, they are being impregnated against their will. The fetus or child is being taken and harvested before the actual birth takes place. And it doesn't ring of something that's godly or really something that is positive. And secondly, the final thought that I have is, think about this. If a number of people continue to be born hybrid, and if the numbers keep growing and growing and growing, it's simple mathematics. We're on our way out, and we're going to be replaced by another species, a hybrid species. And I'd like to get both of your comments on that. Thank you, and thank you so much for a great show.
Thanks for the call.
Well, this is Melinda. If I can say something really quick. As far as the being replaced by hybrid species, there was a point when Yvonne was mentioning something, and I wish I'd commented, which was just to say that I think if hybrids are living amongst us more, people are going to marry them and interbreed with them. I think it's not that we're being replaced with a completely hybrid species. It's that hybrid genes are coming and mingling with our genes. It may be for something else. It's not about them. It's not about us. It's about something new. And I think if anyone follows the whole ancient aliens kind of scenario, that there's always been this intervention, this involvement of bringing the DNA and the information and the technology, to the people of Earth. And it could be, you know, the whole going back to the missing link and the whole history of the development of man and primitive beings and everything is what if occasionally it's been tweaked, and this is just an ongoing part of that. And I agree with something Jesse said quite a while ago, I think when we were still on with Yvonne, that they were here before us. I think that's a grand possibility too, and that this could all be their experiment. I'm just saying, we don't really know, and all these things are just speculation.
Jesse, so it could be that it's genetic engineering. Somebody else might call it evolution.
Yeah, exactly. And a comment on a previous person that called. Now that my abductions have stopped, the strange thing is I wish they would start again. Because now I feel like I'm calm enough that I can ask the questions that I've been meaning to ask.
Whoa, what? Start that one over? You want them to start up again?
Yeah.
How long has it been?
Only because now I feel left out. Now I feel like they don't need me, they don't want me, and that now is the time that I could ask them the questions that I've always wanted to ask them, like, well, why? Well, what's going on? Let's sit here and talk about this. Tell me now.
How long has it been?
I'm sorry?
How long has it been?
Well, the last one was 1999 in November when the child died.
Well, that's a long time, but maybe you never know. The final curtain may not have fallen on you.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's an interesting perspective. I appreciate that comment. Jennifer in Panama City, Florida, on the wild card line. Hi, Jennifer. Good morning.
Hi there, guys. I'll cut to the chase because of the time. When I board these ships, I'm shown screens of future events and symbols and images, and I'm told that I'm being taught triggers. And that when the time comes, I will know what to do by these triggers and these images that I'm seeing. Are there any other abductees out there that say the same thing, that they're being taught or trained to see these triggers and act and do something?
Jennifer, this might be an overstatement, but I feel very safe in saying all of us.
Yes. Okay, good.
Yeah, all of us.
Like
you're
I'm
not alone.
Like
no, I think every other abductee out there has just raised their hand. Yes.
Exactly.
All of us.
I didn't even get into this stuff, but both of you have, you mentioned it briefly, Melinda, but Jesse as well, the psychic abilities that you think may or they've developed, whether they're from these other people, whether it's incidental or whether it was on purpose. Jesse, do you have an idea whether they gave you something or did it come from somewhere else or what?
Well, I think mine, I was born with it because my father was psychic and his mother was psychic, but I think they use my psychic abilities. I think all the predictions that I've been making actually come from them. And, I mean, I predicted 9/11 to the day, predicted the tsunami in Japan and the meteor that just went over Russia and when famous people are going to die. But I think it comes from them to show me, yes, this information I'm getting is true and I should rely on it.
Do you think that's why they chose you?
It's possible. I mean, that's one conclusion that I've gotten, that they picked me because I was psychic. But there's something in my genetics they need. Now, a lot of people, when they look at me, they go, well, why would they take you? I mean, you're not, you know, you don't look like Tom Cruise. Well, no. Have you seen an alien? Do they look like Tom Cruise? They're not after what I look like. They're after what I'm made of.
Mm-hmm.
As we should all look at people of what they're made of on the inside. Not judge someone by the way they look on the outside. They looked at me on the inside and said, there's something about you that we want and we need.
Yeah, they don't know what our beauty standards are, I would imagine.
No.
Melinda, any parting comment? We've got about 30 seconds or so left.
Just with what you just said, I think with abductees, we call it the chicken or egg question, which came first, the psychic or the abductee? And I think psychic abilities goes back in genealogy in your family, and certainly abductions now, it's well known in abduction research, abductions go back in families. So there's obviously some genealogical component to both, and definitely the experiences enhance your psychic abilities. Most abductees feel after their experiences that they have been enhanced or taught, you know, how to do stuff. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Melinda Leslie, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. We've got links to your info on the website. Jesse, I hope it was okay for you the first time.
It was great. Thank you so much.
Good. I want to thank you for both for being here. Also,
Jesse, I'm so proud of you. You did a fantastic job.
Thanks.
Thanks as well to Yvonne Smith Coronado, the president of the Secret Service, and Alien Abductions is her book, and it's pretty interesting stuff. She has a little bit more information there about the Bill Clinton, the possible abduction involving President Clinton that you might want to take a look at. I want to thank my colleagues there at Coast to Coast, Gina Salvati and Nathan Staten, our webmaster Lex Lonehood, Dan Galanti, and a producer Chris Boros, all our other colleagues as well. And I'll be back next Sunday. Good night, everyone.